Well, let's look at Romans chapter 3. We'll begin there. I want to show you one verse there. And let's talk about how to be healed today, how everybody can be healed. We've contrasted the gifts of healing and healing by faith. The gifts of healing work as the Father will, as the Spirit wills. They come to some. God decides when, where, and how to send a gift. We can't command or demand a gift. We receive a gift, and we're glad to receive a gift. But those are all in the hands of God by His Spirit. We had that verse of 1 Corinthians 12, and again Hebrews 2:4. It says, as the Spirit wills, as God wills. Well, we know from the study of the Scripture and from personal experience that gifts don't come to everybody, that some receive a gift and some don't. And God is making the decision. He's orchestrating that. We saw last week the purpose of the gifts. They draw crowds. They validate the message. They validate the messenger. They cause people to think about the message and to receive. You still have to receive by your faith. You can't receive by a gift. But when a gift is there and you've seen something spectacular, you're a better listener. You're just a better listener. Well, that works for some people, and so we're going to lay that aside. We've covered that last two or three weeks. And move on to faith works for everybody. Faith works for whosoever. I told you, I asked a gentleman. He was having some real struggles, and I said, well, are you a whosoever? He somehow thought he was excluded. There's always those group that they're sure it doesn't apply to them. And when I showed him whosoever, I said, are you a whosoever? And of course, I know he knows he's a whosoever. However, he didn't know that. He had to think about that. He wasn't sure he was a whosoever. Well, I can assure you, whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved, and you are a whosoever. Yes. Now, faith, healings by faith, anything bought and paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ can be yours by your claim of faith. Anything that Jesus has done. Verse 27. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the, and this is what I want you to see, the law of faith. Faith is a law. It's a principle. It works. It has certain dynamics. It works in a particular manner. And so the law of faith is not whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. And it's not waiting on God to do something. It's you seeing what has been done and you claiming by faith what you know has been done that applies to you because you're a whosoever and you're standing fast and you're walking in the law or the principles of faith. You're walking in, if you want to say it's a procedure. Well, it begins by hearing. You know Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. I love one minister said years ago, I've been quoting him for decades. He said, must not have been there for it cometh there. It wouldn't have had to come there. That's just as really clear. That's why we meditate in the Word day and night. That's why we concentrate on the Word, because through the Word, faith comes. And faith is going to bring us our answer. It's going to bring us our solution. It's going to solve our dilemma. The battle is the Lord's, and He's won the victory. He won the victory for you, but you have to stand by faith for that victory, for your own personal victory. Now look at verse 13, chapter 10. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word salvation is generic. In this particular context, it's talking about the new birth of being saved from sin. But it also applies to being saved from disease, saved from poverty and lack. It says we're redeemed from the curse of the law, so it applies to the entire curse of the law, according to Galatians 3:13. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be healed. That means you've got to call. But it's not a call like I hope so, maybe so, got my fingers crossed, you know. People tend to beg. They say, oh, Lord, I can't do without this. Oh, Lord, I've been sick enough a time or two. I thought begging might work, but I know better. It just won't work. You don't have to beg. It's paid for. Whosoever shall call shall be saved. How shall they call on him they've not believed? How shall they believe on him they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And there you are. You've got to hear. And when you hear something, you've got to believe what you've heard. You've got to know this is what God has said. God has spoken to me. This is His word to me. God's word is always true. And then you call in full confidence, being fully persuaded that the word that you've heard is actually the truth of God and it comes to pass in your life. You call. Now, the first step would be hearing, but it's not mental assent. It's not casually, I believe that. Sure, I believe that. You don't know how many people, I know there are going to be many, who are going to be in a place of punishment at the end of their life, which we call hell, who do know that Jesus died on the cross. But you have to act or respond to that message. One gentleman, Wayne's dad witnessed to for all the time. His son died quite suddenly, and Wayne's dad went back to talk to him. He had talked to him many times, and he wouldn't accept Christ. He said, I know you're right. I know Jesus died for me. He said, but my son didn't know that, and I want to be with my son, and so I'll choose to go to hell. Now, see, it wasn't that he didn't understand the message or that he didn't believe the message, but he didn't act or respond. You've got to hear the message. You've got to believe it. You've got to receive it in your spirit. It's not just in your mind. It has to be received in the spirit or in the heart. Faith comes by hearing. And after that wonderful verse in verse 17, hearing by the word of God, it says, have not they heard? Yes, verily their sound went to all. They're talking about Israel that heard, but often failed to respond. It says Israel didn't get some of the promises because they didn't mix faith with that promise. They took the promise very casually. They didn't act on that promise. And of course, it won't work unless you fulfill the principles of the law of faith, which begins, I hear, I know what God said. I believe that's God spoken. I believe it's his word. I receive that in my spirit. And the process of receiving it in the spirit or in the heart is continual. It's just continual. Israel knew, but she didn't act or respond, and therefore it didn't benefit. Sometimes we're very casual about our daily time with the Lord. And we can't be casual because that's the time where we're filling our spirit with word. We're like a huge computer, and there's going to be a day when you need that word. When it would flood back over your mind. It comes from the spirit to the mind. You're a spirit being living in a physical body that has a mind or a soul, which includes your will and your emotions. And you're programming your spirit, not simply for today's need, but for days to come. And you're doing that on a continual basis. You're hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Now this word in verse 17, the word of the Lord, there are two words in the Greek. One is logos, which includes the entire book, the whole thing. Well, obviously, you're never going to hear the whole thing. This word is not that word. It's the word rhema. And that's the word that particularly applies to your situation, the word that you're particularly led to, the word that you're meditating on, thinking about, and pondering, the word that you're placing in your spirit on a continual basis. I looked up rhema again. And here is Strong's has been rewritten. And here's their new thing. An individual scripture which the Spirit brings to our remembrance for use in time of need. The prerequisite being the storing, the regular storing of the mind or the heart with the scripture. Regular storing. Now that's what you have in the first psalm. Look at the first psalm. First verse, we know, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly and sits in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of the scornful. There are people that aren't going to give you sound advice. People that aren't going to benefit you. We've said over and over again, if I can't talk to you, you won't hear what I have to say, and I certainly can't absorb what you have to say. I need to move on. It has to be either you're listening to me or you're giving me sound advice, sound word, and I can listen to you. Over a period of time, if you're not listening and I can't listen, you need to move on. I was thinking about, keep your finger there and look at 2 Chronicles. Let me show you, because we covered this a couple of weeks ago just as a rabbit trail, and it comes back up again today about King Jehoshaphat in chapter 20 of 2 Chronicles. I was reading this chapter looking for something else and happened to read this section. Jehoshaphat was king of Judah, and he joined himself, verse 35, to the king of Israel, who was very wicked. He joined himself. In other words, he made an alliance or partnership with the king of Israel, who was a wicked king. He joined himself for him to make ships to go to Tarshish, and they made the ships in Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, the son of Dodavan of Meresheth, prophesied against Jehoshaphat, saying, because thou hast joined thyself with Ahasuerus, the Lord hath broken thy works. So he joined himself to the wrong people. He joined himself to a king that was evil. He joined himself to somebody that led him astray. Now, I don't need any help. I can miss God all by myself. I certainly don't need you to help me. Just be careful of your companionships, and that's what verse 1 of Psalm says. Verse 2 says, his delight. And I'm not delighted what the evil are saying. I'm not delighted with what the scorners say. I'm not delighted what the ungodly are saying. I'm delighted in the law of God. Now, that word delight means I desire it. It means I take great pleasure in it. I value the word of God, and I value and take pleasure in it. It says, day and night, meditating day and night. In other words, it's on a continual basis. I realize the word has life. Hebrews 4 says it has life. It is alive. It has life. When Wang was in the military, he had some new stripes, and I didn't have a sewing machine. And a girl that I worked with said that she had sewn on many stripes for her husband. She was also military, and she didn't know how to bake apple pie. And she said, if you could bake apple pie, I could sew on stripes. So we made that deal. And I went to her house, and she sewed on stripes, and I baked apple pie. Well, she had this cute little boy about, I guess he was 3. And they had a Bible on the bottom shelf. And he would go over there, and he'd say, don't touch. Don't touch. They taught him to reverence the word, but not to read the word. They taught him it was a book to be held at arm's length, which won't help you anything. Anytime you hold God at arm's length, you're not going to be benefited, you see. And some things you can't fix, but you can tell people by unction of the Spirit what they need to hear. And that says meditate day and night. In other words, you're continually in a process. I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more continual I have to be in the Word of God, even on a daily basis. And I'm not a morning person necessarily. I may not read till the afternoon. I may read all evening. Saturday I read most of the day on different things, studying for today's lesson. But I make a habit of making that a priority, and that's what this, the Word of God has to be a priority. If you're going to put it in your heart, in your spirit, you're putting it in your spirit like a computer to call it up, to bring it out of your spirit. You can't bring it out if it ain't in there. Now, I know the Lord can supernaturally speak to you. You can hear a voice from heaven, and that does happen in the manifestations of the Spirit. Supernatural things happen. But you may never hear the voice of the Lord. And we could take a poll. How many have heard the audible voice of the Lord? See? 2 people. So we can't wait on the spectacular. We've got to continually be in the Word that's already written. And we've got to put it in our heart so that when we have a dilemma, the Rhema word, the word specific to our dilemma and our need, comes back up and rescues us. It's day and night continually. Now look at Joshua, and here's the purpose of that continual meditation. Meditation is like staring at a campfire, or staring at the ocean, or at a fish tank. It's when you stare a scripture down. You read it, you think about it, you quote it, you stare at it, you ponder it day after day. You may do one scripture a long time. God sets us up for things ahead. He prepares our heart, and He'll lead you to something in particular so often. Now, it says the book of the law, verse 8, shall not depart out of your mouth. Meditation includes your talking to yourself. I know they told you you can't talk to yourself if you're sane, but the scripture says speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You certainly can talk to yourself, and the thing to do is to quote the Word of God. To take the Word of God, apply to your situation, and say, oh, I thank you, Father, no weapon formed against me prospers. No weapon formed against me prospers. Today, our Father, your Word is true, and no weapon formed against me prospers. And I'm a pacer. I pace, and I meditate, and I quote the Scripture, and that's what meditation is. It's thinking, it's pondering, it's muttering. All of those are applicable words. Because you're making a word deposit. You're putting the Word of God in your spirit in such quantity. It says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, you know the word abundance. You've probably, Thanksgiving, where you ate and ate and ate, you know, abundance, plenty. Wayne comes from a very large family, and there's always plenty, plenty of food, especially when his mother was alive. And my, at all the food. And you know you just can't eat with so much. And she would stand at the back stoop, wave everybody off. They had lunch. And she'd say, y'all come back for supper. And I'd say, Wayne, come be. I'm just telling you, so help me. If you say we'll be here, you are by yourself. There's no way I'm doing that to my body twice in the same day. I absolutely can't do that. Abundance. And that's what you want. You're meditating in. You're just eating, you know, more turkey and more turkey. Wayne's mother didn't like turkey. We always had baked chicken and ham. But you just eat and you eat and you eat and you eat and you have some more. She always made good chicken and dumplings, and she always steamed okra. Only the old timers know how to steam okra like she did. Wonderful, always creamed, hand scraped corn. Wonderful, and you just kept putting it in and putting it in and putting it in and putting it in. And I'm going to tell you, there comes a point when you know that now you've done enough. And you know the Word of God works exactly like that. Exactly. When I read the same scripture and talk about it and quote it to myself over and over again, there comes a point when I absolutely cannot. I am full of that scripture. And I know that. You're going to know that. You're a spirit being, and you're in touch with God. You're in His kingdom, and you're His child. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Just like the physical body has to have bread, the spiritual body has to have bread, has to have food. Just like the physical body gets full, has an abundance, and can't go any further, the same with the spirit. Now you need to sit with whatever word you're thinking about or pondering until you're full of it. You know, we use that expression, trite, so she's just full of it. Usually means mischief or some thing that's not so very good. But you can be full of the Word of God. Absolutely be full of it. And you need to be full of it, and you need to sit till you are full of it. Now you're here, so I assume most of you are not working. And so you've got time to get full. You got time to get full. Now, the book of law shall not depart out of your mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein. Here again is day and night, the continual process of filling up with the Word of God, that you may, here's the purpose, observe to do, according to all that's written. You're going to do something with the Word of God. You're going to do something with the Word. It's not just hearing. It's not just believing. It's not just receiving the Word. You hear and believe and receive, because the day comes when that word is going to prompt you and you're going to act or respond to that word, and it's going to be your deliverance. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, then thou shalt have good success. You're going to do something. Now look at James. James was not written about the new birth. Some people find James confusing, but it's written to Christians who are already born again. And when it talks about doing the works of salvation, it's not talking about the new birth. Now you see in chapter 1 verse 2, he says, my brethren. Talking to the Christians already born again. You see in chapter 2, my brethren. Chapter 3 again, my brethren. It's in numerous, every chapter has a reference in one way or another to the brethren. He's writing to Christians, and he's telling the Christians who are born again. Verse 21, chapter 1. Lay apart or lay aside all filthiness, I love that word, superfluity of naughtiness. We didn't use that word in Auburndale. I don't know where you came from, but this is the first time I ever saw it when I read the study of Scripture. And receive, receive, receive. You've got to hear, believe, and receive. Your heart has to receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. That's the process of renewing your mind. When you renew your mind, you fill your spirit. If you fill your spirit, you're also renewing your mind. The two go together. Then it says, be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deluding or deceiving yourselves. Hearers, people that, so I know that, are often deceived. It's not what you know, it's what you receive, it's what you continually meditate in, it's what you're storing up in your spirit, it's what you can call upon to bring life to you. Now it says the engrafted word. Wayne's dad let a gentleman that was raising orange trees graft oranges on the property. He had some sour orange stock planted there because they're disease resistant. But the fruit is very poor, and so they would graft. And you take a branch with two or three buds on it, and you bind it into the sour root stock. Now, if you look up, I love this, Webster's Dictionary says the purpose of grafting is permanent union. And that's the purpose of meditation, is permanent union. I mean, I'm united to this word. I'm united. You should be as united to the Word as you are your name. Nobody is confused about their name or how to spell their name or who they were or who they've become if they've changed names. And you have to be that united to the Word of God, that you know God. You've heard it. You've quoted it. You've meditated on it. You've murmured it. You've made it a continual part. You've given it first place in your life. And you're permanently united with that word, permanent union. Permanent union. Then it says, be doers of the word. Brother Norville said when he was here decades ago, my brother and sister, you can't do anything you don't know how to do. That's profound, isn't it? Wayne and I quote that all the time to one another. Be ye doers of the word. If you have the word, then the word is going to direct you. The spirit is going to direct you. You're going to know what to do with the word. Now, the first thing you do with the word every time is to speak the word. The word that is not spoken will not come to pass. Did you know that? See, and there are people who aren't in the habit of talking to themselves. they find that very difficult. But I shall prove that to you. Look at verse 25. Whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues looking. Once again, reference to looking day and night. Constantly looking at the word. Constantly taking time with the word. Being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man is blessed in his deed. If you want to be blessed with healing and blessed with prosperity and blessed to be a blessing to somebody else, you've got to be a doer of the word. And the doer of the word are those people who are continually looking at the word. That word looking means to bow or to bend and look. Now, if you bow or bend and look, you're concentrating. You're not seeing anything but that. And that's what this word means, to bow or bend and look. And it says, keep looking. Continue. Keep looking. One translation says, lives in company with the word. Lives in company with the word. Well, you know, when Wayne was actively employed before he retired, every now and then they'd send him out of town. Well, I wasn't applauding at that because I live in company with him, and I'm happy with him coming home in the evening. And I don't like to be by myself in the evening. Anyway, even though I have a full security alarm, you cannot sneak up on me. Don't even give that a try. I will know you're on the property. But I didn't like that because we live in company one another, and we have a continual bond and a continual relationship. And he works out in the shop. He's working on furniture. I go out every now and then just to, you know, take a break, see what he's doing, And that's what it is with the word. I just need to go back to the word and see kind of what God's doing, rehearse it again, you know. And I carry Wayne a bottle of water. He's a very poor water drinker. And so we go out and supervise the drinking of the water. One doctor figured that out. Wayne had some dilemma, and he said, do you not drink water? And I said, you don't have to answer that. I'll tell you, does not drink water. It causes physical dilemmas, which are easily solved. So now he has 16 ounces of water before he has his coffee in the morning. That's not the law of faith. That's the law. Listen, if you'd have had the dilemma he did, 16 ounces of water, I would have been okay with you. But see, because we're in a continual relationship, I'm checking on him. Where is he? What is he doing? He knows. I hate it when he disappears. Cumbies have a habit of just disappearing. We have property. And the property next to us belongs to some Cumbies. The property next to us belongs to Wayne's family's all there. And Wayne, sometimes he just disappears. I just kind of hate that. I have a suspicion that God hates it when you just disappear. I said, where is she? Have we not talked the last few days? We had this bird. One of the children was reminding me of it the other day. Oh, Joel, it was. He said, I can tell you when you've prayed enough, it's when your bird speaks in other tongues. And that is the gospel truth. We had this bird. He was supposed, that's right, Susan heard that. He was supposed to learn to talk, but he didn't. We even made him a recording and played a tape, you know, play it over and over. That's the day of tapes for us. He just played over and over again, thinking he'd catch on to those two or three words, but he didn't. One day someone was at my house and said, what is your bird doing to chatter, chatter, chatter like that? I said, he speaks in tongues. He's just copying me. Because I pace and I do a circle, and I had circled by his cage so much, he's just saying what he'd heard me say. See, we had a continual bond there. You've got to have a continual bond to the word because you're going to receive it. It's going to be engrafted into your spirit. It's going to become the treasure of your spirit. And you're going to draw out that word to save you, to deliver you, to set you free from a dilemma. That's why a lot of people don't receive what they need because they haven't given the time to the word. They haven't received the word like they ought to receive it. Well, look at Matthew chapter 12. He never did learn to talk, that old bird. He was supposed to. He was just caught up in spiritual things, I think. Yeah. Just Verse 35, chapter 12. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. Good man out of good treasure. The NIV says a good man out of good stored. Good stored. Who's doing the storing in the heart, in the spirit, in the inward man? I'm not talking about brain. You know, I can memorize. Most people can memorize. And that doesn't mean you'll remember it next week or even tomorrow. We memorized scripture coming up as when I was growing up. We memorized so many a week, and I was raised in church and raised in the scripture. Not necessarily raised in understanding the scripture, but raised in the scripture. Did I say that nice enough? And you know that verse. You know that. How does that go? And now you get totally confused because I read about six translations at a time. And I think, I call it the Cumbie Remembrance Version. Because otherwise I'm not sure exactly how the King James said it. You're supposed to store some things. A good man out of good treasure of the heart. You're supposed to store that word in your heart. Store it in your spirit. And you're supposed to renew your spirit and renew your mind and go over and over and over and over day and night continually. Because the word is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And some people walk in the darkness and can't find the light of God because they don't have the word. The entrance of God's word gives light according to the Proverbs. Solomon in Proverbs. Your word has to enter. Psalms 4, it says you have to find the word. James says receive the word or find the word. Well, you do have a copy of the word. That's Proverbs 4, verse 20. Talks about the continual process of the word. Attend to my words. Incline your ear. That means to bend your ear. Let not them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. They are life of those that find them or acquire them or attain them. You have a copy, but you have to let that word register in your spirit. Now, here's how you do it. You're a spirit being living a physical body. Here's the spirit, and here's the physical body. You speak the word constantly, and you speak the word into your spirit because you're in the process of filling your spirit up. You're constantly, continually in the word to fill the spirit up to... You know, our computers didn't work this morning. I don't know, you know, businesses are computer dependent. We're fairly computer dependent ourselves. And it always causes trouble because there's some things on there you just have to look at them again. You can't exactly remember what they were or who said what or how much money it was. You have to find it. You have to acquire it. You have to attain it. And you've got this roadblock. And we always do the first thing we do is say, is it plugged in? I learned that the hard way. And so it's plugged in and something's moving, but we're not getting the right information. Well, that's what we do because we don't continue in the word and we don't speak the word. You're talking yourself. You're saying what God said. That's why I have you say, how are you healed? Thank you. I want that word to go down and lodge in your spirit, lodge in your inner man. See, and it says out of the abundance right above this, it says out of the abundance of the heart. That's verse 34. Out of the abundance, how are you going to get it in the heart, in the spirit, in abundance? Talk yourself into it. Speak it over and over again. Faith is a learning process. Now, you learned the multiplication tables. I learned them 3 times. I learned them with both my children because in that decade, they're just a grade apart, first and second grade. You had to make 100 on the multiplication test. I don't know why, but that was county, something the county was doing. And they were petrified. I was kind of scared for them myself. I thought, 100, okay. And we went over them and over them and over them. And to this day, you just can't trick me on the multiplication tables. I've got those. Joel and I sat on the porch, front porch, sat on the back stoop, sat in the family room, sat in the living room, rehearsed it before bedtime over and over and over. 6 times 6 is 36 and 9 times 6 is 54. You just can't trick me. 9 times 7 is 63 and 3 times 3 is 9. I know all of those. I know those. But it was a continual process of putting it in. He'd say it and I'd say it. And he'd say it and I'd say it. And he'd say it and I'd say it over and over and over and over. Well, when the computer's down, we only have a certain amount of expertise. And we generally, if Suzanne can't fix it, I can't fix it at all. And Wayne can't often fix it. We don't have enough in us. I don't have anything in us. And I went, we have a new machine we just purchased because the old one, I can't imagine a machine dying after 10 or 12 years, can you? We just run that thing into the ground and it's just as dying. And so the man's explained to me why this machine is superior, why I'm going to love this machine. Oh, if little he knew how he wasted his effort. And I'm going, I don't have a clue what he's telling me. Not a clue. And Wayne's standing over there, and I hope Wayne's getting it. Because I know I don't know. I couldn't even repeat it. I don't know why we want this machine and we don't want this other one. So the next 2 or 3 days, I told him, let's go back and talk to that man one more time. He said, okay, and we went. He went to over it again. And I said, do you know this machine is ugly? It is, too. It's the poorest aesthetics you've ever seen. He said, ma'am, this is the best machine on the market. He explained it again. And I said, and it is the ugliest I believe I've ever seen. He said, but it's going to give you quality printing. I said, today I'm concerned about how ugly it is. You see, he and I aren't on the same page at all. You got to get on God's page. You got to get where God is. You got to hear what God is saying. And I said, it looks like it's wearing the stupid top hats. And this cute little salesman said, I love hats. Oh, brother. Plus, the new machines are twice. They're huge. They're absolutely huge. I said, you know, we have a small office. We're a small operation. We don't have room for the Jolly Green Giant here. For a long time, the Lord would speak to me about the Jolly Green Giant. I don't know what he's saying. I don't have a clue what he's saying. I held that in my heart. See, God is going to lead you because he's filling you up, because it's going to be engrafted into you. It's going to become a part of your inward man. It's going to flow out of you. You're going to speak the word in, and one day you're going to be so full, you're going to speak the word out. That's when the word works, not when it goes in, but when it comes out in faith. You speak it in faith. You said, I know no weapon formed against me prospers. I know by Jesus' stripes I'm healed. It's when you speak it out in faith. Well, when we were in Moscow, you have to stick with it until you get it. Especially if God's leading you to a scripture, you stick with that till you get it. We were in Moscow. They fed us. God has never sent me anywhere to do my own cooking. And I just want to publicly thank him for that. Especially when you don't exactly recognize the ingredients. But they took us to the store because for some reason, Wayne and I were going to cook one meal. I can't remember now what the reason was that for. Because they don't want me to cook. I'm a good cook. They don't want me to cook. And so everything's in Russian. I can't tell. I'm going down. And all of a sudden, I spotted. There it is on the can. Do you know who it was? It was the Jolly Green Giant. Now, I don't know what he's selling. I don't know what's in the can. But it has to be corn or peas or beans. I said, that's what I'm cooking. Do we have a can opener? She said, yes, that's what I'm cooking. I'm cooking that. I'm emptying that can. She said, why? I said, because it's got the Jolly Green Giant. I know him. Now, I didn't put all that together. The Lord began to deal with me about the Jolly Green Giant. So he begins to deal with you about the word. He's going to help you engraft that word into you. He's going to help you receive. He's going to help you store it up. And then it dawned on me, after months, it dawned on me, I'm a little slow, that somebody in Russia that we knew there needed prayer. He's trying to get me to pray for my Russian friends. We have many because we were over there at the Bible school 7 different years. And so right along, the Jolly Green Giant comes up. Now I know. Now, some of these lessons I teach over and over again, hardly ever teach them the same way twice, but there are things I know that I knew, and I know it was real clear last time I taught that, and I think, now how did I say that? Where's that scripture? It's amazing. I'm just trying to talk you into continual, day and night. I'm trying to talk you into attaining and receiving and going over it and over it. You can't be a doer to something you only half know. And a doer always speaks the word of God. Now look at Romans 10. We'll read a couple of references so you'll see. Verse 8. What saith it? The word is near thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Faith comes from the word, but it has to be in your mouth and in your heart or in your spirit. It has to be in those. That's the law. That's the principle that Romans was talking about. Then it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It has to be in the mouth and in the spirit. Faith won't work any other way. It won't work because you believe it. It won't work because you receive it. It works because you believe it and you said so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The psalmist said, just say so. Well, people that are very quiet have trouble with that. People who talk all the time also have trouble with that. They've said so much, they don't know what they've said. But there has to come a point where God and I in union, I've been grafted into Him. I'm His child. I'm in His kingdom. I'm His heir. I'm heir to the promise, and part of the promise is healing, where I've meditated on, I've thought about that. I've made a continual relationship with that word, just like I have a continual relationship with Wayne Cumbie. And that word rises out of the Spirit where I've put it on store. I've treasured it in there. I've put it on store in there. And I've made sure, you know, if you've seen antique furniture, it doesn't look like it used to. That's what Wayne does just for fun. And you get pieces and you look them up on the different sites and different books, and you see how they look the day they were created. And you look at the piece and you look at the picture and you think, what in the world happened? It got old. It just got old. It was used and abused. We believe in use. We might as well be in abuse, because abuse happens in furniture, that is. It needs to be refreshed. It needs to be refurbished. And there's that constant refurbishing of the word. You put it in there. The fact that you could quote it in 1922 or 1952 or 1972 or 1992 is not going to work for 2002. So you've got to be refreshed in it, constantly refreshed in it, constantly refreshed in it. Now, I don't like to drive. I hardly ever drive, and even when Wayne was working, I didn't do too much driving. But they sent him to Vero Beach for several days. I don't know if he remembers or not, because of the team of us, I'm more in charge of memory, old memories, than he is. That's not really his responsibility. I'm in charge of old memories. So he was going to be there for 3 days to some kind of conference the city was putting on, and so I'm going to go over to Vero Beach and pick him up. And then we're going to spend a couple of days, you know. Continual relationship with the Word, with the Spirit, with God, with the Rhema on the inside. Put it in there as treasure and draw it out. Make it stay in fellowship. Well, he mapped me out and mapped me out and mapped me out. We went over that and over that because he knows. And first of all, I was going to listen to a series of tapes they were then. I could get lost in my tape and forget where I am and who I am. So he said, Becky, sir, listen to me. My mother always called me Becky, so he said, listen to me. And we went over it. He said, now you go to Bartow. I said, I got that part. Bartow, I got. And then he'd take me down this road. I said, you stay on that road until, and I've forgotten how you get there, but you stay and stay and stay on that road. Well, you know, if you're not paying close attention, there comes a point you think, now where did he tell me to turn left? What'd you say, God? I have to go back to the book. Refresh. Go back to the book. Read it again. Find it again. 5 minutes a day is an hour a week. Skipping Sunday. 10 minutes a day. 15 minutes a day. I'm not talking about a marathon. I'll tell you how a marathon happens. This little fella was so caught up in the Word and had captured continual, had captured treasure, had captured day and night, and he had a lot of children, and so he's going to go sit, and it's cool out, he's going to go sit in the parking lot of his business and read his Word. And he did. And he was so in love with God. And so, see, I'm in love, deeply in love with the lover of my soul. You have to be in love with God, in love with His Word. You have to desire to know on a continual basis, day and night, desiring Him and desiring what He's going to say, and knowing what He's going to say is going to rescue or deliver me. I've got to know. If I'm going to do what God wants me to do, if I'm going to say what God wants me to say, I've got to have it on deposit in the Spirit. Well, after a while, he had the windows up because it is cool out, but it's comfortable. And somebody knocked on his window. Called him by name and said, are you coming in? It's 9:30. Well, he should have been in the office, I think, at 8. He's still reading. He's in love with Jesus. He's in love with the Word. He didn't mean to set a record for that day. It just happened. He probably, like everybody else, started with 5 minutes, 10 minutes. One brand new Christian. Brand new. Well, he'd been Christian for a while, but brand new to dedicate himself to the Lord. And he said, I'm going to take an hour a day. I'm going to take a break at work and take an hour, which he could do at his job, and read for an hour. I know he's not going to do it. I know it's too big. I know it's too much for him. He's brand new. He can't do it. I said, you know, why don't you just start with 10 minutes? He says, no, I'm going to do an hour. I need to do an hour. I'm going to do an hour. Well, I'm not opposed to an hour. I'm for an hour. He can't do it. He's new. Start where you can start. Do what you can do. If 10 minutes is what you can do, then do 10 minutes. Now, we're going to be doers. Here's what we're going to do. When God gave direction for the Joshua about the walls of Jericho, he said, have the people walk around those walls once a day for 6 days. That's in early chapters of Joshua, chapter 6, I think. And then on the seventh day, walk around 7 times and shout, and the walls will fall down. Dumb. Go just on your way home. Pick a wall. Pick a fence. Shout at it and see what happens. Nothing. It ain't coming down. It's not coming down. But see, he believed. He believed the word of the Lord. He received the word of the Lord. He brought it to those people, the people of Israel. They believed the word of the Lord. They heard it. They believed it. They received it. And they did exactly what God had said. They walked around that wall. History records that the wall of Jericho fell in a direct. It would ordinarily, because of the weight of the wall, fallen in, I believe they said. In history, when they've dug up part of it, it fell out. See, if God says it's going to fall, it's going to fall. If God says you're healed, you're healed. If he said he'd meet your need, he'll meet your need. If he said if you sow a seed, it'd come back to good measure, pressed down, shaken together, no coming over. You need to enlarge your borders because it's coming back. You see, God's word always comes to pass. But I've got to receive that word with such confidence. I've got to have it on deposit in my spirit with such confidence that whatever God says to do. Now, what is a sick person going to do? First of all, he's going to speak the word all the time. Saying is part of doing. Saying is part of doing. If you don't say, you'll never receive. Whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, because you have to have faith. You have to read it and meditate it until your heart says, that is the truth, the gospel truth, I believe. Till you receive it, till you attain it, till you're united with it, till you're in fellowship with it. But it says you have to speak to your mountain. Not mumble. Speak. One translation said, whosoever will say to that mountain, move, shall have what he says. It doesn't say he'll have what he's thinking. It says he'll have what he's saying. And it's the day that you say it, that it rose from your spirit. You said it in faith. You said it in confidence from the inward man. Well, you can't say it from the inward man if you didn't put it in there. You've got to be a doer. Now, when God told Abraham to take Isaac up the mountain and offer him on the altar, it says very early the next day. That's not something he wanted to do, but he's in obedience. He's a doer. Sick people can always quote the word, should. They always stand in attitude of praise and thanksgiving. What can a paralyzed man do? One lady, they laid hands on her. She had received the word. She knew she was healed, but she couldn't walk. She's still paralyzed. She's still in a wheelchair. She rolled around her house in that wheelchair, and every minute of the day, she constantly said, thank God I'm up. Thank God I'm taking care of my family. She says, I got so tired of sitting in this chair. I'm so glad I'm up taking care of my family. She hadn't moved an inch. Couldn't. She's a doer. She's a doer. Do you understand doer? Doer, she's a doer. She's doing what she can do. She's speaking the word of God. She's confessing the word of God. Well, the day came. I don't know if it was several days or several weeks. She stood right up. Word in, word out. Word in, word out. It's when it comes out in confidence, in faith, when you've really received it and you've planted it. Now, seed farmers, when today was a farmer, you can plant last year's seed if it's kept in the freezer. Sometimes it'll come up. Usually it'll come up, but occasionally it won't. But I'd see him. I know he's checking the seed from last year. He's put it in the ground. And he'd go down with that finger, and he would dig a little hole there at the end of the two to check the seeds to see if they're sprouting, you see. But if we didn't get any rain, it's not really the seed's fault that they didn't sprout if there's no rain. And he didn't turn on the irrigation system because they had irrigation. It's not really the fault of the seed. You have in this the incorruptible, non-decaying, non-perishing seed of the living God. The scripture is called the seed of the living God. Non-corruptible. In other words, it's not decaying, it's not perishing. And when you plant that seed, it has to be continually watered. You've got to water that seed. If you water that seed is going to sprout. It is going to come up. I like it to come up today. But your manifestation, the seeing of it, may not come today, but the knowing of it in the spirit is now. I know it now. You call I used to order trousers for Wayne because he wears size 35, or did, and he couldn't. You can't buy those on the market, generally speaking, and so you have to order them. And I'd order, and I'd say, this is catalog number 776. And she'd say, hey, Miss Cumby, how are you? You know, computers know everything. And I'd tell her what I want, and she said, okay, we have that in stock. I'll send that. Now, I hadn't seen it, but I believed I received it. And Wayne'd say, what about my black? I said, they're coming. I believed I received it. Faith is not seen. It's believed without sight. I just believe it. Why'd I believe it? God said so. It says Abraham was fully persuaded that he'd be the father of nations, father of a multitude. He wasn't the father of even one little dude. He wasn't. Do you get it? We're going to hear. We're going to believe. We're going to receive constantly, continually speaking the word in, speaking it in, speaking it in. And we're going to do it. We're going to speak that word out. We're going to allow it to become in union. If you abide in me, Scripture says, and my words abide in you. Abide is to be continual, to be day and night, to be over and over again. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will and it shall be done. Amen. That's what we're going to do. So that sounds like work. It is. And yet, the more you do it, the more you like it. You think, wow, because it's alive. And you begin to sense the life that's in the word you're reading. You can sense that on the inside, the life of it. Shh. I used to tease our musicians, Builder Number One. We used to sing, be ye doers of the word, be ye doers of the word, be ye doers of the word. I love old music, doesn't strain your brain. And not hearers only, be ye doers of the word. I used to harass them with that, and they'd say, oh, we're going to do that one. That would be a great song. We're going to do that one. Work it up. We never heard that. You never heard that here. But I really sang it a long time. And that's good for you to do, to take whatever scripture. Say it, sing it, sing it, say it, believe it, retain it, attain it, water it. And then say, what do you want me to do? I'm going to say it. I'm going to speak it into my heart and speak it out. I'm going to rejoice and praise God over it. And then sometimes God will say, speak to that mountain. Bring that thing down. I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be a doer, not a hearer only. I don't want to be deceived. The hearers are deceived. They think because they know something, they got it. It's not going to happen because you know it's supposed to happen. It's happened because every faith is always believed and spoken. The two essential steps of victory. You believe it and you say it. Amen? Do you believe that? Raise your hand to heaven. Thank God. Oh, we honor you, our Father. We honor you, 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 we honor you. We're doers, Lord. We speak your word. We speak your word. We speak your word. We speak your word. Oh, we thank you that the word has life. We thank you that we have our own personal copy. Oh, we thank you. The word is working mightily in us today. The word is working by the Spirit. It's working in us with great might and great power. You said so, therefore we say so. Thank you, Father, for the mighty working of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.